Good afternoon, and may the Lord give you his peace. This is Father Stosh Daly on St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with today's message of hope. As we come to the close of this hour, and we're looking forward to the later part of the afternoon and the evening, I invite you to join me as we revisit the words of everlasting life, the life-saving words of the Holy Gospel from the third Sunday of Advent in particular. In the second year of the three-year cycle of Sunday readings for the Holy Mass, in this season of Advent, we enter into John's Gospel, in particular the first chapter. St. John the Evangelist, let us recall, is the youngest of the 12 apostles. He's the younger brother of St. James. Their parents are Zebedee and Salome. St. John is a cousin of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's also a cousin of another John called the Baptist. So on that third Sunday of Advent, when the Church is inviting us, her children, to recall the invitation to rejoice and to rejoice in the presence of the Lord always, she's inviting us to acknowledge that we are drawn into, we are invited into, as baptized individuals, disciples of Jesus, we are members of the family of God. So when we enter into the Gospel, especially the Gospel of John, we're entering into an account of family life. We're hearing how our own kin, our own blood, respond to the kingdom of God, make manifest the kingdom of God. If you recall, the Gospel from the third Sunday of Advent, taken from John, begins with verse 6. A man named John was sent from God. He came for testimony, to testify to the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to testify to the light. And this is the testimony of John. When the Jews from Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to him to ask him, "Who are you?" He admitted, and did not deny it, but admitted, "I am not the Christ." So they asked him, "What are you then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not." "Are you the prophet?" He answered, "No." So they said to him, "Who are you, so we can give an answer to those who sent us? What do you have to say for yourself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying out in the desert, 'Make straight the way of the Lord,' as Isaiah the prophet said." Some Pharisees were also sent. They asked him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, or Elijah, or the prophet?" John answered them, "I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to untie." This happened in Bethany, across the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The Gospel of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, in this daily message of hope, we need not look any further nor farther than the words of everlasting life given to us in the Gospel according to John, the ones that were proclaimed on the third Sunday of Advent in the second year of the third year cycle. If we zero in on what St. John shares with us as his brothers and sisters who believe, who follow the Lord Jesus Christ, if we zero in and we turn to just two little details to kind of open it all up before our eyes, we can find so much in those two little details. They're almost like keys that unlock the divine drama before us and help us to appreciate the significance of the words, the significance of what St. John, the evangelist, the apostle, is desiring for us to have and to possess and to be able to call our own so as to hold on to not only survive, but also to thrive as Christians. Let us first look at where the conversation takes place. Everything we've heard in that passage on Sunday at Holy Mass, or just now over the radio. Everything in that particular passage takes place in a place called Bethany, not too far from Jerusalem, a place of peace, a place of rest for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bethany is mentioned, it's referenced several times in John's Gospel, both explicitly as well as implicitly. Remember what else takes place in Bethany later on. Our Lord Jesus Christ is summoned to Bethany because his cousin, his loved one, his friend, Lazarus, has died. He journeys to Bethany so as to be at his side. His sisters, the sisters of Lazarus, that is, Mary and Martha, summoned the Lord so that he could heal him, to heal Lazarus. But remember, as the Lord was journeying to Bethany in response to their plea, he became delayed. He became delayed preaching and proclaiming the kingdom of God, healing the sick, encountering those who were in need of healing and restoration themselves. Upon arrival in Bethany, what happens? Mary and Martha, his cousins, they greet him. They plead with him. What do they say? If you had been here, he would not have died. Bethany is then a special place for the Lord Jesus Christ because it's a place of family. It's a place of his kin. It's also a place where he has to perform a miracle by bringing Lazarus back from the dead. Remember, it's one of the places where three simple words are said about Jesus, and Jesus wept. I invite you to recall, though, the significance of the tears of Jesus shed in that place of Bethany. These people knew Jesus. They loved Jesus. They were his friends. But as the kingdom of God is being proclaimed, there's still doubt. There's still disbelief. And Jesus weeps. I'm a firm believer that he does not weep because Lazarus has died. I believe Jesus weeps because he had to bring Lazarus back from the dead so that he would then have to die again. Just to prove a point to those who have a hardness of heart, to those who knew Jesus. They knew him and loved him. But the people there had that hardness of heart. They knew the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a place where he would go to not only turn down the noise, but also to kind of turn off. It was a place of rest and peace for him. So it should be no surprise then that he and his disciples and his loved ones frequent this place of Bethany. And it should be no surprise to us that Bethany is a place where the drama of the gospel returns time and time and time again. Bethany. Bethany is a place that is supposed to not only be considered whenever we hear the gospel proclaimed or we read it for private meditation and prayer, but Bethany is a reality that we're supposed to cultivate in our homes. Bethany, a place where the Lord may dwell among us. Where the Lord may dwell among us, but even more than dwell among us, where the Lord may be known, where the Lord Jesus may be loved, where the Lord Jesus may be served, where the Lord Jesus, though, will not be put to the test. That's the other key, right? In the gospel passage from the second year cycle of the three-year cycle of the Sunday readings on the third Sunday of Advent, John the Baptist, he lets them know, the priest, the Levites, and the Pharisees, he lets them know, there is one among you whom you do not recognize. Recall what John answered. I baptize with water, but there is one among you whom you do not recognize, the one who is coming after me. So see, in John's own words, he highlights Jesus is already there. Jesus is present among them. He is present among us in our lives. So in this daily message of hope, as we're grasping maybe for that sign from the Lord that he is here, that he is among us, that he is with us, we need not look further nor farther than the words of St. John the Baptist from the third Sunday of Advent, when he reminds us, as he reminds the priest and the Levites and the Pharisees, the one whom you seek is already among you. The tragedy is they don't know him. They would know him if they lived the scriptures. They would know the one that had been born of a virgin, as foretold by Isaiah 30 years earlier. By the point of this conversation, Jesus is already nearly 30 years old. He is very well known. He is already loved by his loved ones. People know of him. They might not know of him as Lord, but they do know of him. But they fail to recognize him. In our world today, that is all too often the case. People know of Jesus, but they don't know Jesus. They don't recognize him. He dwells among us, but he is not known, perhaps not loved, not served. But in the hearts of those who do know him, love him, and serve him, we recognize him. We recognize him first and foremost in the breaking of the bread, that is the Holy Eucharist, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, where the Lord unites heaven and earth. May we know him, love him, and serve him always. Recognize him not only for who he is, but also what he is. He is Emmanuel, God with us.